We're entertaining meets informative.
This show makes the listener feel like it's my show.
You make bad news sound good.
Mark K for 3 hours a day.
Loving it!
This is the Mark K Show.
This is the Mark K Show. That is a correct statement, unlike what you'll see on CNN pretty much every single day of the week. What's up, everybody? This is the Mark K Show. My name is Mark K. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-6275. And, you know, Donald Trump was right. It's amazing to me how after all this time and after all the effort so many people have put in to discredit this guy, he keeps coming up with true statements. Things that he said all through his presidency turn out to be correct. And one of the biggest was when he looked at Jim Acosta early on in his first press conference and said, you know what, you work for CNN.
You are fake news.
And it turned out to be true. It turned out to be true because now, thanks to James O'Keefe, we have this guy, Chester, what's his name? Chris Chester, whatever. The guy's name, the guy works for CNN. He's this technical director, and he went on, I guess he was hooking up with this girl on Tinder. And what happened was she was a Project Veritas journalist, an operative. And the only reason she connected with him on Tinder anyway was because his Tinder profile listed him as a CNN director. And she thought, well, this is great. So they went out and they started to have some drinks and talk and discuss everything. And then what happened was he said maybe one too many, maybe a couple things that he shouldn't have said, and spilled the beans about what's really going on behind the scenes at CNN. And we played a lot of it because it dropped live during our show yesterday. We played a ton of that for you. I went back after the show and I listened to more of it. And it wasn't just things they were saying about Donald Trump and Joe Biden, but also Matt Gaetz, who is a congressman from right here in Florida. And Matt Gaetz under fire for all these supposed problems that he had and this $25 million, with a blackmail plot that's been going on with him and his dad. They said that their job or their role is to continue to push the Matt Gaetz propaganda because they feel that he's a threat.
If the agenda, say, is to, like, get, like, Matt Gaetz right now, he's, like, this Republican, like, he's a problem for the Democratic Party because he's so conservative, right? And he can cause a lot of hiccups in passing of laws. So it would be great for the Democratic Party to get him out. So we're going to keep running those stories to keep hurting him and make it so that he can't be buried and, like, just, you know, settled outside of court and just, like, you know, if we keep pushing that, it's helping us. That's propaganda. It's helping us in some way.
All right, so they're making up something that's going to help them, and by them he means CNN, but really on a grander scale, he means the entire Democrat Party. And he's saying, look, we make up these stories and we push these stories, and even though, because Matt Gaetz, I mean, think about this. Matt Gaetz is little Donald Trump. He's young Trump. He's got the same conservative values. He's got the same fire in his belly. He's fighting just the way Donald Trump did. He's from Florida, a super red state at this point, and they know that he's got a bright future in the Republican Party, and that's a big problem for them, so they've got to try to take him out, and the best way they can do that is to keep the stories going, keep these lies fresh in everyone's minds, because it helps them out. And so Sean Hannity had James O'Keefe on yesterday and said, look, where do you go from here now that we know CNN is propaganda, now that we know that CNN is admittedly creating stories that help Joe Biden and hurt Donald Trump and other Republicans? What's the next step? And James O'Keefe made a big announcement.
Sean, I intend to sue CNN for defamation. Anna Cabrera is the host that lied about us and said that we were taken down for, she mentioned misinformation. That's just simply not so.
Yeah, so he's got a big lawsuit against CNN. He feels like he's got all the proof he needs.
We believe we can win against CNN. So we are, I'm announcing on your show, I'm going to sue CNN for defamation.
And the important thing about this is that this is something you're going to see more and more of. Candace Owens, she already has won a couple lawsuits against some of these fact checkers for getting her thrown off of Facebook and other social media because what they wanted, they were like, hey, we need to get these people off. We need to make sure that Candace Owens can't spread her brand of propaganda when it was actually true. And now James O'Keefe is doing the same thing, and he's urging more people to stand up and fight the media. Stand up and fight big tech. Stand up and fight back against these people who push their agendas, which are 100% false, and try to pawn them off as news.
I think a lot of people need to start suing the media for defamation. It's disgraceful what they're doing. It's disgusting. Now they're caught. And if Charlie Chester has not been fired, I'm pretty sure that by tomorrow, Sean, he will be.
Charlie Chester, that's his name. Charlie Chester, the technical director from CNN, who went on 5 Tinder dates that he will always, always regret. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-6275 is our number. And today is something we like to call Whatever You Want Wednesday. Whatever you want to talk about today, that's what we've got on tap today. If you're one of our new listeners at KRMG in Tulsa or WHIO Radio in Dayton, this is where we open up the phone lines. I mean, Rush used to do Open Line Friday. We do it on Wednesday because really by Wednesday we're running out of ideas as it is. And you can get on the phone, 855-940-MARK. You can leave us an open mic message and you can ask us any question you want. You can introduce any topic that you have. You can discuss a theory. If you have an issue about something that you need help with, by all means, leave us an open mic message. We get open mics and calls from a woman named Julia all the time. And she left us an open mic message for today's Whatever You Want Wednesday.
Hi, Mark. This is Julia the conservative with the dad who votes Democrat but spews conservative values. So here's the latest. He's building a gun from parts and ordering it so it doesn't have a serial number. Isn't that what Biden is trying to do away with? But yet my dad voted for him? I'm so confused. Can you explain?
Yeah, we talked a lot about this when she first called in. She's got a dad who voted for Biden and thinks he's a Democrat, but really he's not. He's a conservative, and all of his values are conservative as well. And now he's apparently building one of these ghost guns.
First, want to rein in the proliferation of so-called ghost guns. These are guns that are homemade, built from a kit, that include directions on how to finish the firearm. You can go buy the kit. They have no serial numbers. So when they show up at a crime scene, they can't be traced.
Yeah. And now her dad's buying one and building one. And he's really excited about it, except that Joe Biden wants to get rid of it. 855-940-6275 is our number. 855-940-6275. Speaking of Joe Biden, a couple big things. First of all, he will be speaking later today. He's going to be announcing that he's withdrawing all the troops that are left in Afghanistan. He's bringing them all home. They're all going to be withdrawn from Afghanistan by September 11th is his goal. And at 2:15, we'll probably, it's 2:15 Eastern, so 1:15, you can figure it out on your own. But we'll probably dip into that for just a couple of minutes. And if there is anything big like that announcement or anything else, or I mean, if God forbid he takes questions, that would be a dream come true. But if he does, we'll definitely get you some of the information about Joe Biden and his big announcement today at 2:15. The second thing we want to mention is that Joe Biden, it appears, will be giving some kind of State of the Union address, or really, I guess it's a joint address to Congress. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, she invited the president to come and give a joint session, address a joint session of Congress on April 28th. And a lot of people were wondering, is he going to do this? No one else has not done a joint address to Congress or an address to a joint session of Congress since they became president, since Gerald Ford. We all know how that worked out. Or not Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter. And we all know how that one, where I was one term. So it's Biden's turn now, and Nancy Pelosi has invited him. He's going to be heading down. He's accepted. So on April 28th, we have that to look forward to as well. Joe Biden trying to stand for about 90 minutes in front of the entire world, both parties, the Supreme Court, everybody, but whoever the designated survivor is that night will be there, and we'll all be watching nationwide to see what happens. It'll be right around his right around his 100th day, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to discuss. So Joe Biden, who we used to think was just going to hide in the Oval Office, was just going to hide in the White House and sign executive orders for the rest of his 4 years, apparently he's decided, no, he's got some stuff to say, and he wants to make all these appearances. So we've got one today at 2:15, and then we've got the State of the Union, quote unquote, coming up Wednesday, April the 28th. That's 2 weeks from today. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-6275 is our number. Quick break. More of the Mark K Show's coming up. Stay tuned. This is the Mark K Show. My name's Mark K. 855-940-MARK is the number. 855-940-6275. And it's Whatever You Want Wednesday. And today for this Whatever You Want Wednesday, we're going to go to Susie in Middleburg, Florida. Hi, Susie. How are you? Susie?
I'm good, Mark. Oh, how are you doing?
I about had a heart attack when you didn't answer. Susie, what's going on? How are you? What do you want to say today, Susie?
Well, I'm going to sing my little song.
Let's hear it.
It's Trump Day. It's Trump Day. It's Trump Day today. Hey, hey. That's all.
Yeah. I like when Susie gets musical. I like that. The musical Susie is my favorite.
Susie. She's my favorite.
855-940-6275 is our number. 855-940-6275. Don't call 822. I don't know what that is. This is Mel in Texas. Hi, Mel. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks so much for asking. What's up, Mel? What do you want to say today, sir?
I got two things.
Yeah.
Number one, even though I'm not a Dem, they've got a plan for keeping gas below $2.50.
They have a plan for keeping gas below $2.50?
Yeah, they're going to sell it by the half gallon.
That's good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, hey, look, gas is only $2.50 a half gallon. Oh, wait, doesn't that make it $5? No, don't worry about it. That's Dem math. Hey, thanks so much for calling. We really appreciate it. This is Liz in Las Vegas. Hi, Liz. How are you? Welcome to Whatever You Want Wednesday, Liz.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. What's going on?
So, before I say anything else, we miss your old time slot because Amir, my son, misses hearing your voice. So he sent you a package. So expect that sometime next week.
Oh, okay, great. Is it like a tape recorder so I can just record a bunch of stuff and send it back to him so he remembers what I sound like?
No, because he still watches clips, but he said it's mainly from him.
Okay, got it.
So look out for that.
I will definitely tell him thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'm glad that you've decided to keep him in school rather than taking him out to hear the show. Although he could learn a lot from the show as well. What's going on today, Liz? What do you want to say?
So I'm concerned. I'm currently on a medical leave, so I'm still employed.
Okay.
But I'm currently not working.
Got it.
But I work at a casino on the Strip in Las Vegas. And the governor of Nevada issued a statement pretty much saying, you know, to get our economy back in Vegas, which is a tourist city, they're pushing for vaccines. They're really, really pushing for vaccines. They said if we can get 100% of everybody vaccinated, they can get their numbers in the casino capacity up to 100%.
So they're saying before they can open the casinos back up to 100%, they want everybody that works there vaccinated.
More or less.
Okay.
So my concern is some of these, I know of two different casinos, not the casino that I work, but two different ones. They're saying they're pushing for vaccines.
Yeah, of course.
If you choose not to get vaccinated, they are requiring that every person that's not vaccinated to get a COVID test every week. And they have to show proof of a negative test, a result.
Are they going to pay for those? Are they going to pay for those tests? Because I think you only get so many for free, right? And then your insurance kicks in and that kind of thing. You can't get tested every day for free, can you?
There's a place here you can, but
I think after a while they're like, no, we're not going to do that anymore.
One casino is offering free. The other one you have to pay out of pocket, which is $15 per test.
Yeah, per test. All right. Yeah, I mean, look, and that's something that, but the individual casinos aren't mandating, you said, right? It's just the governor suggesting that the casinos do that?
Yeah, from what I understand, you cannot mandate.
Correct. Yeah, correct. That's what I was going to get to. Also, by the way, before I get in more into the answer to your question or, you know, a little bit more about what's your concern, is there any way you could get us comp rooms if we were ever in Vegas? Or is that not your... Is that not your department?
My house is always welcome.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot going on with this now because now that the vaccines are so predominant, now that everyone's getting, you know, the Pfizers and the Modernas and, well, not so much the Johnson & Johnson anymore, and now that you've got millions and millions of jabs going in these arms and people going back to work. I mean, even here, we have a room, a big, like, it's not even a conference room. They call it the performance studio. And since the pandemic began, it had police tape like all around it. You weren't allowed to go in there at all. You weren't allowed to touch anything. I don't know what the deal was. I walked by it this morning and it's clear and it's open. So I realized that means more and more people are going to come back to work, which I'm not really excited about. They're probably not that excited about seeing us either. So that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, no, your employer cannot force you to get a vaccine. And if they require you to have a test, it's my understanding that they have to pay for it. I mean, if you have to pay $15 a pop for a test, that's something that should be deductible, or either deductible from your taxes, or you should be able to turn it in as a business expense. Because, I mean, otherwise you say, no, I'm not getting tested, I'm not getting a vaccine, but I'm gonna work here. It seems to me like it would be some kind of a kind of operational cost if that's what they're looking for. But, you know, Vegas isn't the only place, Liz, and thanks so much for calling. There's a story that came out about, first of all, the NFL and Buffalo, New York, specifically. The NFL, they are requiring vaccinations for hundreds of their employees. They're requiring. This is one of the first and one of the largest organizations that I've heard of to come out and just flat out say, look, if you work for us, you're expected to get vaccinated unless you have an underlying medical or religious reason for not doing so. The individual teams in the NFL are being encouraged to hold vaccination days and educational programs to encourage vaccinations. They're working with the Players Association, because remember, these players are unionized, so they just can't go around saying you have to get vaccinated to play, but they want all their players vaccinated. But if you're like front office staff for the NFL, they're going to make you get the vaccine until somebody comes forward and says you can't do that and file some kind of big lawsuit. In Buffalo, New York, it's even worse, because the stadium that the Buffalo Bills play in, and also the arena where the Buffalo Sabres play hockey, those are both owned by the state. And now one of the prominent politicians up there, a guy named Mark Poloncarz, is insisting that if you want to go to the game, not work there, not be an employee, but if you want to go to a football game, if you want to go to a hockey game, you've got to be vaccinated and you've got to be able to prove it. And that's exactly something that here in Florida, our governor, Ron DeSantis, is working diligently and has announced will not happen. And he's going to do everything in his executive power to make sure that it doesn't. 855-940-6275. Thanks so much for calling, Liz. We appreciate it. Quick break. We got more of your phone calls. We got more coming up. More about Joe Biden's big press conference coming up at 2:15. Ooh, it's exciting, said nobody ever. That and more of your phone calls and open mics on the way. Stay tuned. It's the Mark Kay Show. This is the Mark Kay Show. Pardon me. My name is Mark Kay. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-6275. Eagerly anticipating Joe Biden at 2:15 today, who will be speaking about Afghanistan and him pulling all the war's over. He said this war's gone on too long, and now it's going to end. We're going to get you that statement live as it happens. Maybe not all of it, because, you know, he's kind of a boring guy. Every time we cut live to, and we were talking about this earlier, Hannah and Josh and I, that when Donald Trump was president and he would break in with any kind of news conference or even one of the chopper talk, you know, he'd start taking questions from the press and the media as he was walking to the chopper. Doesn't matter if you liked Donald Trump, if you hated him, if you thought he was great, you thought he was terrible. It was always entertaining to put him on the radio. And if we broke in with a Donald Trump speech or whatever, you got some kind of tidbit out of it. You were like, wow, that was really good.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, people weren't turning off the radio. The first time we broke in for a Joe Biden live press conference, the complaints we got were just like, look, I don't like that guy's voice. I don't want to hear him talk, blah, blah, blah. So we're not going to take all of it, but we will take a little bit of it. 855-940-6275 is our number. This is Rick in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Rick, it is whatever you want Wednesday today. What do you want to talk about?
I just wanted your opinion on the virus passport or the vaccine passport.
The vaccine passport, yeah. Virus passport would be easy. You could be like, you know, just, yeah, I got the virus. Let me on the plane. Yeah, the vaccine passport. What specifically about it are you curious about?
Well, to what extent is it going to go to? I'm kind of hearing about grocery stores and being able to enter a grocery store.
Yeah.
And all that.
Look, I mean, I don't know if grocery stores, I mean, everything boils down to the economics of it. And you have to really think to yourself, is a grocery store is mandating that people have vaccine passports or show proof of vaccination before they come here? Is that really something that's going to benefit the grocery store? Are there a lot of people going to the grocery store getting COVID-19 and dying? Are they facing a lot of lawsuits from people who, are picking up, you know, melons that someone else had just squeezed, and all of a sudden they have COVID, and then they're holding the Winn-Dixie or the Publix or the Kroger store or whatever it is liable for the disease that they got? I don't know that that's a big issue. Having a vaccine passport at a grocery store probably would discourage people from shopping there, and that would relate in, you know, and of course lower amount of sales, and they lose money basically. So I don't know about grocery stores. The big ones that I hear are the airlines, for example. Airlines may want you to have a proof of vaccination before you can get on the plane. And that's even worse because that can hobble your entire lifestyle. If you travel for a living or if you have to go to a wedding or a funeral or whatever else, that's a big deal. If you can't get on a plane, that alters your entire lifestyle. And while flying is not a right, that is true, it's definitely something that most Americans enjoy without being hindered or without being, forced to take a vaccine, to have something injected into their body. I mean, when you really think about it, you're asking somebody to change their physical state in order to buy your product or use your service. And that's ridiculous. Go ahead.
My sister-in-law is from the Philippines, and they go back there like once a year, if not every other year. So that is going to affect her. But they're thinking that, there's going to be so many people that aren't going to take the vaccine, so they're going to not hold on to the vaccine passport.
And Ricky, I mean, look, we're starting to see it a little there. This is going to be the new war front for sure. This is going to be what the courts are. I mean, the courts and the judges and the lawyers are going to be, they're going to be battling this vaccine passport or this vaccine mandate for the next, who knows, probably 10 years. But here in Florida, we have a very diligent, we have a very forward-thinking governor, and we have a governor who's not afraid to act in the best interest of his constituents. Imagine that, a politician who thinks, what would really benefit the people that put me in office? What would really benefit the people that I govern over? You know what? I'm going to do that instead of doing the opposite, which is what so many other politicians do. But Ron DeSantis, when the whispers around D.C. and in the media started to pop up about these vaccine passports, Ron DeSantis, he put his foot down. He stepped right in and he said, not in my house.
We are not supporting doing any vaccine passports in the state of Florida. No one was more aggressive about getting this out.
If you look at all the different things that have been going on, and he said that we've never even had a vaccine mandate here.
There was never under discussion any mandates to take vaccines. We will not have COVID vaccines mandated in Florida. The flip side of that, though, with these vaccine passports is it's completely unacceptable for either the government or the private sector to impose upon you the requirement that you show proof of vaccine to just simply be able to participate in normal society.
Yeah, that's the key right there. It's ridiculous for you to have to show a proof of vaccine to participate in normal society. And going to a grocery store is participating in normal society. Getting on a plane to fly interstate or, in intrastate is a part of normal society. Getting on a train, hailing an Uber, walking into the drugs. I mean, whatever it is, going to a ball game. And that brings us back to what's going on in Buffalo. Ron DeSantis said before the NFL gets into this issue, before these individual teams and team owners get into an issue, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to say in the state of Florida, I'm going to take executive action to make sure that you can't do that. You cannot require people to have a vaccine or a vaccine passport to spend money with you.
You want to go to a movie theater? Should you have to show that? No. You want to go to a game? No. You want to go to a theme park? No. So we're not supportive of that. I think it's something that people have certain freedoms and individual liberties to make decisions for themselves.
Now, well, and in Florida, the governor believes we have freedoms and individual liberties. Let's go to New York, the anti-Florida, where the politicians there don't really believe in freedoms and personal liberties, or they may believe they exist, but they just don't. They don't. I mean, we don't want any of that freedom and liberty here. This is New York State. You think, what do we know about liberty? I mean, other than that big statue we have in the, in the river, forget about her. She's old and French and she's obsolete. But a New York politician is now suggesting in Buffalo that the coronavirus vaccine is necessary should you be allowed to attend a Buffalo Bills or a Buffalo Sabres game. This guy's name is Mark Pollenkars. He insisted it is safer to have sports venues limited only to vaccinated fans. He exclaimed that people are perfectly free not to take any of the various coronavirus vaccines, but they aren't free to attend a football or hockey game. And this is the interesting phrase here. He says, quote, there is no God-given right to attend a football game. the Democrat said. This is all from Breitbart, by the way. There's no God-given right to attend a football game. This is the same party that will tell you health care is a human right. This is the same party that will tell you higher education, college education is a human right. Neither of which are, by the way. There's no such thing as health care being a human right. But there is a right for you to take care of your body, do with your body what you will, and not do with your body what you won't. And you should not be punished for not doing something that you don't want to do to your own body. And that is where this is going to be one of the biggest fights coming forward. I know people are like, wow, that's pretty strict, he says. But we're trying to protect not only the people in the stands, but the players on the field, concessionaires, our sheriff's deputies, the security guards. And the best way to do it is to ensure that everyone's vaccinated. So what? I mean, here's what's going to happen. And he says it's well within their rights because the Buffalo Bills play in a stadium that's owned by the state. The Buffalo Sabres play in a stadium or a venue that's owned by the state as well. And now what you're going to have here is you're going to have a lot of these teams, a lot of these individuals in states like Florida and Texas and I don't know, Tennessee and South Dakota, although they don't really have any professional sports teams in South Dakota. It doesn't matter. Maybe one day they will. They're going to be the centers of economic growth. That's where people are going to flock. You're going to see capitalist states versus socialist states. That's what we're looking at. You're going to have a state like New York, a state like California. People are going to know if you go there, you're going to get taxed out the yin yang. You're not going to be able to move around. The governor or the state, the representatives are going to mandate what you can and cannot do, when and when you cannot do it, what kind of vaccine you need and before you can do any of it. And your freedom and your liberty is going to go out the window. But in states like Florida, in states like Texas, in states like South Dakota, in states like, what's the other one, I guess, in Mississippi, where the governors believe in freedom and liberty, they're going to open up wide. And when you have the choice between living in a free society or a dictatorship, and it's just you pack up the U-Haul, it's just a couple hours drive, you're going to see people, you're already seeing it, they're flocking to Tennessee. They're leaving L.A., they're going to Nashville, they're leaving New York, they're coming to Miami. I mean, these are the new economic centers of the universe. And what these governors and what these state politicians and what these vaccine passport mandate people are doing is slowly destroying their own economies and their own states. And that's going to continue. That's going to continue. And the only people that are going to benefit are the people that live in red states and the people who are lawyers. So I'm telling you, man, if you're a lawyer, if you're going to college right now and you're like, gee, I don't know what my major should be, I'm telling you, take advice from Uncle Mark. Go to college, get your law degree, and then go move to one of these blue states and you will be rolling in dough. Well, until you get that 70% tax bill. Go work there for a couple of years, then move down here to Florida. 855-940-MARK is the number. 855-940-6275. Quick break, everybody. We got more of your phone calls on the way. It's Whatever You Want Wednesday on the Mark K Show. It's the Mark K Show. My name's Mark K. 855-940-MARK. So what? So Josh is very proud of his mixing.
You said it really weird.
Did I? No, you came in like the start of a song.
I did.
The Mark K Show.
With the bass line.
Oh, yeah? It's the Mark K Show. We need Susie back on here. 855-940-MARK is our number. 6275 if you can't spell. If you just want, would rather dial the number. I get it. Just put it in your phone and then you can just tell Siri, hey, Siri, call Mark K. And then you'll get through, hopefully, for Whatever You Want Wednesday. Today, we've got a lot coming up here in just a minute. There's a couple more things that we need to talk about. I do want to talk a little bit more about this Matt Gaetz thing. Plus, Bernie Madoff, he died in jail. I don't know if you remember that guy. And there's some more calls for. And this is weird because I thought yesterday when Rashida Tlaib said we need to just abolish the police altogether, I thought for sure she'd be the only one. No, no, no. There's now actual corporations who are jumping on the get rid of all police, get rid of all incarceration, no more police, no more jails. It's weird. I don't understand. I don't understand the thought process there, but we'll tell you who it is so you can boycott them or cancel them or, just ignore them, whatever you want to do. That's on the way. First, though, let's get back to a couple more phone calls. This is Katie in Maine. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you today?
Oh, doing great, Katie. What's going on in Maine? What do you want to say today?
Well, I wanted to add that in remarks to a comment yesterday by a listener that people need to wake up or the fake woke business.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of hope. There are some young folks like I, myself, who are waking up, and we're also not happy with what's going on. But there's stuff that, you know, there's things we can do together, even though it doesn't seem like it's on the TV. It doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, Katie, how old are you?
I'm 23.
You're 23. Okay, great. And you get it, right? You understand how capitalism and freedom and all that. Well, you're one of us. You're okay.
I've known the gist of some of it for the majority of my life so far. But listening to you and listening to Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, Ben Shapiro, Rush Limbaugh, especially, and rest in peace, maybe, because he was, and all of you guys are just a huge inspiration. So thank you for all you do, and just know that, you know, we are listening.
Oh, Katie, we really appreciate it. And, you know, that, and thank you so much for sharing that, because that's a great point. And that goes back right back into the CNN media propaganda. What people want you to think is that conservatism doesn't live past the age of, or, you know, below the age of 50. Conservatives are old, angry, white people who love guns and the Bible, and they don't go on the tickety-talk, and they don't go on I mean, it's ridiculous. There are so many young conservatives. In fact, I mean, I used to get shocked when I would meet somebody who was young and hip and said, oh, you know what, I love your show, I listen all the time, you're so right. My kids, you know, they're friends, and they're even younger than millennial age. But there are so many young people out there who want to, you know, who understand what's going on, who've been taught by their parents or by whomever, that there is this underlying patriotism that is not being taught in school, that is not going, that they're not going to be inspired by or really open to. When I was a kid, we got all sorts of messages from the television, from the news, from our teachers. We were taught civics in school. We were taught how great America was. Now there is really no outlet for young people to get just, you know, on a daily basis, the kind of Americanization or the kind of real learning about what this country really is that we all used to have. People assume that means that they're not conservative, but in a way, I feel like young people seek it out more. Because what happens when you tell a young person that they don't have, there's something out there that they can't have, or we're not going to tell you that, or we're not teaching you that? They go out and they seek it out on their own. And that's why you have all these podcasts, or that's why you got the Ben Shapiros. That's why Project Veritas is around. That's why there are so many conservatives getting thrown off of Twitter and thrown off of Facebook every single day. They're getting thrown off of this and that because the young people are actually finding the messages, and they're excited about it, and they're learning there is a difference, and they're making up their own minds. And what CNN's trying to do, and we know they're trying to do it, is they're trying to propagandize you. They're trying to brainwash you with quote unquote news that's really stories that they've made up. And we have a technical director on tape now, thanks to Project Veritas, admitting that. So it's really exciting for me to see how many young people are realizing, and Donald Trump had a big part to play in that. Donald Trump spoke to this younger generation in a way no one had. And sure, you've got the sheep who follow their friends to the Antifa rally. And sure, you've got the sheep who follow their friends to the middle of Seattle and shut down six city blocks and say, this is cool, we're going to have our own country. And sure, you have the sheep who go out there and just chant with the BLM crowd, even though they probably have no idea what they're doing. They just think it's going to be cool on their Instagram story. They just think it's going to be cool on their Facebook. But if you go to any one of these influencers, if you go to any one of these conservative influencers, look at Tommy Lahren. She's got millions of people who follow her. She came here for a book signing. We went down to Orange Park to check it out and to hang out with her and to interview her backstage and stuff. I mean, the line was out the door. There are young people who look up to conservatives as well. It's not just what you think it is or what the media wants you to think it is. They're not a lost cause. At least I hope they're not. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-6275. This is Zach in Dalton, Georgia. Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Good. How about you, Mark?
Oh, good. Real quick, Zach, what'd you want to say?
I was going to say, you know, you're talking about like the NFL and everything with the vaccines. What about the wokeness that's going on within like the MLB, for instance? Because we got our new election laws here in Georgia, which are better than Colorado's, but yet they're going to take and move the All-Star game to Colorado.
Yeah.
And then whenever the umpire gets the question wrong, he's going to take and call him out, or call him safe whenever he should have been out.
Yeah, that's great. Great question, great point. I'm going to have to get to it right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are, Zach. It's the Mark Kay Show.
Remember when we used to eat cake after somebody blew all over it? Man, we were wild.
cake. That's all I can think now. 855-940. But that's true, though. You used to blow out your candles with your mouth. And now, I mean, God, does anyone do that anymore? Did anyone have a birthday recently? You had a birthday in February.
I did.
Did you blow out candles on a cake?
I did.
Did anyone eat the cake afterwards?
It was just my family, so we all ate the cake. Yeah.
Oh, because you were all fine.
Yeah.
We
didn't go out for it.
You already quarantined together. Hannah, when's your birthday?
August, so I had to use a paper and blow it out like that.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, it was really... I started to blow it, and I was like, no, stop!
Wait, who said that?
My mom.
That's your mother?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, you're going to get a text message from Barbie and Savannah.
Hannah!
No, stop! Your mother does not sound
like that. She doesn't sound like that. She's very sprite.
All right, she's one of those youthful geriatrics.
She is. She's 59.
Where's my motorcycle? That was very Mickey Mouse. Listen, but that's true. That's one of the things that we're not going to be able to do anymore is blow on cake, which is fine because, I just like the cake part anyway. 855-940-6275 is our number. And today is Whatever You Want Wednesday. For our friends at WDBO in Orlando, welcome to the show. And we are inviting you today to kind of take over. Everybody used to love Rush Limbaugh's Open Line Friday, which we were just talking over the break about a couple, because I'm starting to lose my voice, which I'm aware of. So if you're like, this guy sounds funny, it's because I've got a little bit of hoarseness. It's okay. We're on it. We've got steroids coming. We've got all sorts of throat sprays. People have, somebody told me somebody's going to put like acupuncture in my neck. I don't know. There's all these home remedies we're going to try. It'll be fine. But if I sound a little off, that's the reason why. And Hannah said, you know what your problem is? You talk too much.
That's not what I said.
And I said, it's what they pay me for. And she goes, no. She goes, remember Rush Limbaugh would take these dramatic pauses? You should do that. And it got me thinking about how Rush used to ruffle papers. And that was my favorite part. It was one of my favorite parts was him not talking and just ruffling papers.
Mm-hmm.
I have some papers here. They're not the same kind of papers. And there's nothing actually written on them.
They're literally just blank pieces of paper.
But if I feel like I need to take a little pause, a dramatic pause to rest my voice, this is what you're going to hear. Like that, okay?
That was good.
And was that okay?
Yeah.
855-940-MARK is our number, 855-940-6275. We had a guy call in and he asked about baseball and the wokeness of the MLB and how it's negatively affecting the state of Georgia. Look, there's a whole bunch of wokeness that's really dumb. I don't know when Dr. Seuss's book, or books rather, were canceled by his own estate, by the people who were tasked with... And this is something, I don't know, when I'm long gone, if the people who are in charge of all the stuff I left behind cancel me, I would be so mad. I would, because I'm specifically leaving people in charge to take care of my crap when I can no longer do it. And they're out there canceling the stuff they're supposed to be taking care of. But he had like five books that were canceled. They're no longer going to be published. We have one or two of them already in the Mark Kay Show Cancel Culture Museum of American Wokeness, which we're curating. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of times what happens is it hurts the wrong people. And what happened with Will Smith pulling his movie out of Georgia because of the Georgia election laws, we find that it's hurting the wrong people. It's hurting the people who are probably voting for Joe Biden, who are voting for these Democrats, the people that actually went out there and put Ossoff and Warnock in office and handed the Senate to the left. Those are the people that now are going to be losing jobs because Will Smith is. I mean, look, if you're a Hollywood type and you're working in Atlanta, Georgia, you're not voting for Governor Kemp. You're not voting for Donald Trump. We know that. We know the entertainment industry is inundated with liberalism. And we know that a lot of the people in Georgia maybe come from somewhere else. Maybe they couldn't get a job in Hollywood or in New York. So they came down to Atlanta and they started to build that burgeoning entertainment industry. That's great. If you pull out of there, those people are out of work. And they're liberals. They're Democrats. They're the people that voted to help you. And because you don't like the laws, which aren't also being totally misrepresented by CNN and ABC and Joe Biden and Stacey Abrams and everybody else on the left. I mean, people are all up in arms about things that aren't even in the law. This is one of the this law expands voting. It expands mail-in voting. It expands voting drop boxes. It expands early voting. But for whatever reason, it's been sold as something terrible because the people in Georgia who passed it, who wrote it, and who signed off on it are all Republicans, and they assume that these Republicans are doing this just to help Donald Trump or because Donald Trump was mad at them or whatever. But I'd like to point out that Brian Kemp never did anything to help Donald Trump. Why would he start now? He's just shoring up the election laws so there's never a question ever again. But Will Smith is pulling his movie, and he's hurting his own people. Major League Baseball, same thing. The Braves, the Braves are the Atlanta team. I think they're out in Cobb County now. But, I mean, the majority of people who are going to benefit are in the Atlanta area. You know, the Braves baseball team, this stadium where this All-Star game was going to be held, the city is losing, what, $100 million? The people that really needed that money are losing a lot more than the people who didn't, because there are business owners, there are rich people. I mean, Atlanta is one of the wealthiest cities in the country. They're lousy with one percenters over there. And when you look at it, sure, they're not going to make as much money because the MLB game is gone, but they're going to be fine. You know, they're going to still have the Mercedes Benzes. They're still going to go to their country clubs. They're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. But the other half of the city, the half that wasn't a one percenter, the half that really needed the money, is being punished by MLB because they don't like these laws that they don't understand. And Governor Kemp even said, hey, you know what? We're going to come in. We're going to sit down. I'll call you. I'll go through the whole thing. Because have you read the bill? Have you read what's in the law? You probably haven't, have you? We're going to go through it item, line by line, measure by measure, and I'll explain to you how it's actually beneficial to voters in Georgia. They want to hear it. They said, no. You have voter ID. These were their big qualms. You have voter ID now. We can't have voter ID. That's racist. You can't ask somebody if they really are who they are before you hand them a ballot. Because why? Because black people don't have IDs? Is that true? I mean, I assume that, you know, when you go get a driver's license, whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian, I mean, you need a driver's license to drive. I see black people driving on the road. I see Asians driving on the road. I'm assuming that they all have driver's licenses, which would be a form of ID. I don't understand why it's racist. And especially if it's a mail-in ballot. If you go to the poll, you can still just say, I don't have my ID with me. You can vote, and then they can check on you later. But if you're just getting a mail-in ballot, you're required to send in a copy of an ID, social security number, birth certificate, anything, something you should have. They're calling that racist. They pull the MLB game out of Georgia. They move it to Denver, Colorado. Guess what happens in Denver, Colorado, if you want to get a mail-in ballot? Guess what you have to do? The same thing you have to do in Georgia. Show some kind of form of identification. It's ridiculous. Also, if you look at the demographic makeup of Colorado, I don't know if you've ever been to Colorado, but it is probably the whitest place in the world. And I'm not saying that because it snows like 8 months out of the year. It's like Utah and Colorado. That's where all the, you know, the Birkenstock wearing, you know, snowboarding white folk go forever. And that's supposedly a more racially diverse place where that's going to make all of these ball clubs and these politicians and these owners and these fans and these people on Twitter, you know, that are like Georgia, burn in hell, Georgia. These people are going to be totally, I didn't even know what to say to these folks, but they're going to be totally okay with moving this game to a place like Denver, Colorado. It's weird. It's weird. The whole thing's bizarre. But to your point, it ends up with Democrats hurting other Democrats. And I'm not really sure why they think that's a good idea. The latest is Ben and Jerry's ice cream. This is something that just popped up today. Ben and Jerry's has joined Rashida Tlaib, who yesterday tweeted out something ridiculous about basically getting rid of, not even like defunding the police at this point, but abolishing. She wants to abolish all the police. She's like, there should be no more police. There should be no more incarceration. There should be no more militarization, whatever that means. But she's all about it. She's like, we need to have some kind of, I don't know, police-free society. Her actual tweet was, it wasn't an accident. She's talking about what happened in Minneapolis with Dante Wright. It wasn't an accident. Policing in our country is inherently and intentionally racist. Dante Wright was met with aggression and violence. I am done with those who condone government-funded murder. Rashida Tlaib is calling police government-funded murderers. Then she goes on to say, no more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. To hell with it all. Throw it in the compactor. It's all done. You can't fix the police. They're unfixable. They're government-funded murders. Their job is to, they probably get bonus for the number of bullets that they use out of their gun at the end of the month. Incarceration. She wants incarceration gone. So what happens when somebody breaks the law? That's going to be the next thing to go. There will be no laws. That's what they want. And Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream thinks that's a good idea. Ben and Jerry, who are two real guys, they have called now to dismantle the police and criminal justice system following Dante Wright's death. They've said, they tweeted out, the murder of Dante Wright is rooted in white supremacy and results from the intentional criminalization of black and brown communities. This system can't be reformed. It must be dismantled and a real system of public safety rebuilt from the ground up. Hashtag defund the police. Ben and Jerry's now calling to defund the police because it's they're white supremacists and it's the result of intentional criminalization of black and brown communities. They want to defund the police while at the same time they have the nerve to charge $6.99 for a pint of ice cream. I'm going to be honest with you. It's either you're a capitalist or you're a socialist, but you just can't be both. Ain't nobody going to buy it. 855-940-6275. 855-940-MARK is our number. A quick break. More Whatever You Want Wednesday coming up next. This is the Marque Show. My name is Marque. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-MARK. If you're trying to get through, 6275. And it's Whatever You Want Wednesday. So whatever you want to talk about today, yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to play your OMs. We're going to take your phone calls. We're going to talk to you about whatever. Oh, and also at 2:15 today or 2:15 Eastern time. Or you 1:15 if you're not, if you're on the, was it Central? It doesn't be, wherever you are, at 2:15 Eastern, Joe Biden is going to take the stage to discuss the war in Afghanistan finally coming to an end and all the troops coming home. I just hope he takes questions. That's really the only thing I look forward to in a Joe Biden press conference. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but you never know. Also, there's an announcement that 2 weeks from today, he'll be addressing a joint session of Congress at the invitation of Nancy Pelosi, which means that it's going to be like a State of the Union, something that we didn't think we were going to get from Joe Biden. But, I mean, maybe they're giving the guy, like, steroids or hormones or whatever it is. Maybe they found some kind of regenerative program. Maybe Bill Gates, because, you know, Bill Gates is working on biological agents to take over the world. That's what I read on the internet. So maybe he's helping him become more youthful. Maybe he's like the Benjamin Buttons of presidents because he went from never going out, never speaking in public, never leaving the house. And now you can't shut him up. He was given a speech yesterday in the Capitol Rotunda. He was given a speech the other day in the Oval Office. Today he's got a speech on Afghanistan. And then 2 weeks from now, he's going to do a 90-minute State of the Union address, which is I'm not really sure. It's crazy. It's crazy. 855-940-6275 is our number, and it is Whatever You Want Wednesday. So whatever you want to talk about today, that's it. Nate in Utah. Hi, Nate. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Nate.
Can you hear me?
I can. What's going on, man?
Yeah, what you are very good at making me pick up on some topics, like with the NFL. So get this.
Yeah.
I feel like a major conspiracy theorist, but there's...
You're in the right place. You're in the right place,
yeah. You've brought up the Great Reset before, right?
Yeah.
So, 100 corporations met over the weekend. The NFL was there. Their CEOs are talking about how they're going to stop other states from putting into place these laws like they did in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And why do you need 100 corporations? And, like,
yeah,
I'm curious, like, what their overall goal is. I'm sure whatever the Great Reset have to do with it. If they don't go along with it, they'll be crushed.
Yeah, Nate, you're right. I mean, a lot of people don't know this. What happened was, you know, everyone's familiar with what happened in Georgia with Coke and Delta. The CEO of Coca-Cola said these laws are terrible and horrible, and we are ashamed that we are headquartered in Georgia. We need to fix it. Coke came out as well and said Coke has been, you know, we were founded here in Georgia. We've been a staple of Georgia. We're headquartered in Atlanta, and we don't agree with what's happening. It's taking a step backward. And they got into this tit for tat with Governor Brian Kemp, who had to basically, I mean, publicly admonish the CEOs of two of the biggest companies in his state. And now, after that happened, 100 other corporations. I think PepsiCo was one of them. I don't have the list, so I don't want to mention companies that I know weren't there or that I don't know for sure were there. But they're basically trying to do the same thing. And there's a reason these companies are doing it. They think, because if you're a corporation, I don't care if you're a Democrat, I don't care if you're a Republican, your job as a corporate CEO is to increase your bottom line. Your job is to sell more, create more customers, create more demand for your product, bury your competition. Your job is to make more money. If you're the CEO of one of these companies, your job is to be a capitalist to the best of your ability. The problem is that a lot of these guys and ladies as well spend a lot of time on Twitter, a little too much time. And they think that the majority of the people in the United States feel the way that Georgia election laws are bad. They feel the way that Major League Baseball does. They feel the way that the outspoken few Hollywood celebrities and athletes who tell them how to think feel. That's not the case. The majority of Americans in this country really, first of all, have no idea what's going on with the Georgia election laws. The majority of Americans don't care about the Georgia election laws. The majority of Americans don't really think we need to make it easier for elections to be hacked or to be tainted in any way. The majority of Americans think, I don't understand, 11 days of early voting, mail-in voting, drop boxes, Saturday voting, Sunday voting. How can you not vote? It's almost harder not to vote these days than it is to vote. Yet some people are still upset with it. And these corporate titans of industry, they believe that the majority of their customers feel the way the minority on Twitter do. They don't. And that's going to be a problem for them. Got to take a quick break. Great question. Thanks so much for calling. We'll be right back. More of the Markay Show next. This is the Markay Show. My name is Markay, 855-940-MARK is our number, 855-940-6275. Joe Biden's address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm just kidding. It's coming up at 2:15 today. He's going to be talking about the war in Afghanistan finally coming to an end and bringing the troops home. We'll bring you as much of it as we can stomach, okay? I promise you that. We'll bring you some of it, but not so much so where you turn the radio station. Because I know he doesn't have that same oomph as President Trump did whenever he spoke in front of a crowd.
I have a running war with the media. They are among the most dishonest human beings on earth.
Yeah. 855-940-6275. By the way, we're just talking about Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's joining the call by Rashida Tlaib to say, hey, we are done with the police. The police are bad. We want to dismantle the police and criminal justice system. I have a question. What do Ben and Jerry's think is going to happen if there's no police policing their ice cream factory in Vermont, or if there's a break-in at the supermarket, or if the supermarket gets looted and all the Ben and Jerry's gets taken away and they lose money because there were no police to keep everybody safe? What happens in that instance? But you know, they're doubling down and they're joining forces with the left side of crazy by tweeting out the murder of Dante Wright is rooted in white supremacy and results from the intentional criminalization of black and brown communities. This system can't be reformed. It must be dismantled and rebuilt from the ground up. They also, I believe, they're going to stop selling vanilla ice cream and only start selling ice cream of color. Because they don't want to be white supremacists. Hannah didn't get that one because she's tweeting somebody right now.
I was not tweeting. I was trying to look at the other stream because it's really hard from the computer. Oh, okay. All right,
perfect. No, but you know what? Because you know how like Ben and Jerry's likes to come up with these like fashion forward flavors with these creative names.
Yeah, like Tonight Dough.
Yeah, and Cherry Garcia and all that kind of stuff. And fish food, but it's P-H-I-S-H, like the band Fish, mm-hmm. right? I thought they should definitely take this and run with it with their social, because they now have this social agenda, agenda.
Right.
But they're trying to help with the far left, you know, defunding of the police and all that kind of thing. They should use their ice cream. They should speak, you know, put your money where your mouth is, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with some potential new flavors of Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Okay.
Would you like to hear them?
I think I would love to hear them.
All right. They're mouthwateringly delicious also being socially acceptable. This is one if you like fruity ice cream. Some people do.
I'm
more of like a chocolate or a mm-hmm. But this is a good one. No justice, no peach.
At the Georgia one too. That's good.
Okay, yeah. No. Oh wait. Why isn't this working? Hold on. I was gonna
wait for it.
No. Oh no.
Out of batteries again.
How is it out of batteries?
Someone leave it on.
By the way, you guys can't see, but he's using a megaphone. It just isn't working.
Yeah. That was anticlimactic. No justice, no peach. Just imagine I'm like, no justice, no peach. Okay. Here's my next one. Ready?
Okay.
Defudge the police.
That one's the good one.
Is that a good one?
That's my favorite
like fudge?
One. Yeah. I love fudge.
Too much fudge.
Defudge the police. The new flavor by Ben & Jerry's. Reparaisons.
Okay.
Because that's a big issue about, you know, paying reparations.
Yeah.
Reparaisons. Anyway, okay. And then, all right, yeah, a couple of, like, people-specific, you know, because there's a lot of, and when you look at the left, there's a lot of the superstars of this liberal social movement.
Yeah.
For example, Pistachio-C.
Got a hard shell, but once you open that up.
It's still hard.
It's very, okay.
Yeah. Banana Peel-O-C-Y.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was Josh's song.
It was good.
Okay, good. This is a good one because we know CNN is a propaganda machine for the left. Ben & Jerry's is proud to present CNN-Emin Toast Crunch.
You sound like Little Nemo.
I do. This is
CNN-Emin Toast Crunch. That was a really good one. Who did that one?
That was good. You made up for Banana PLOC with that one. Whenever they go out to protest, they're always like, you know, trying to light fires to police stations and federal buildings and things. And they yell, burn it down.
Yeah.
Ben & Jerry's running with that. Churn it down. Home-style churn.
Like butter,
churn.
I get it.
Like butter, yeah. Something.
And then this is one of my favorites. It's always been one of my favorite flavors, and I think this is going to be a top seller. Butter pecan tifa.
Antifa sucks.
Okay, Hannah, wasn't that?
But no, that was good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Just made me sad to think about Antifa.
I'm a sucker for puns in any format.
Yeah,
so
I know.
This is
I know you do. I know you do.
I love puns.
You really are crying. That's great. 855-940-6275 is our number. 855-940-6275. This is Rayshawn in Jacksonville. Rayshawn, how are you? Thanks so much for calling the Markay Show.
Hey, what's going on, Uncle Mark? This is Rayshawn from Jax. Actually, I was going to speak on, you know, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but
yeah.
I really feel like we need to speak more on the police. And I don't really feel, you know, I understand that Jerry & Jerry is trying to, you know, give us information, but they're not giving us any ideas. You want to take money from the police, but you're not giving any solutions. You know what I mean?
That's a great, Rayshawn, I want everyone to listen to that. That's a great point. Rashida Tlaib, Ben & Jerry have both said we need to defund the police, dismantle the police, abolish the prison system. It's totally beyond repair. We need to just get rid of it all. But you're right. What did they not do? Give any kind of actual solution. I'm so glad you pointed that out, Rayshawn.
Exactly. And I just feel also, too, you know, I'm living here in Jax, and, you know, my family was in the military 25 years. And, you know, coming to America and, you know, just the way the police, you know, interacts with me is very, you know, very unprofessional. You know, why is it taking 3 cars to pull over a guy with a car seat? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, why do I need 5 officers on me? Like, I'm scared. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And,
where are you from, by the way? Where'd you come from?
I'm originally from Norfolk, Virginia.
Oh, you said you coming to this country.
Well, like, you know, like travel, you know, military brat.
Oh,
you know,
I see. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I understand. No, I understand. And I'm not saying that there's not problems. I'm just saying if you think there's problems now, just wait till you get rid of all the police. Just wait till you pick up 911, you dial it and it goes doo-doo-doo. The number you have reached is no longer in service. That's going to be that's going to be a bigger problem. Rayshawn, what do you want to say about Johnson & Johnson originally? I'm curious.
Oh, I was going to also speak on that. Was that, like, you know, everyone's trying to get this vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, and they have all these lawsuits and stuff like that. But, like, I mean, you know, since when is it okay just to take the first serve of anything that someone's giving you? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Does anybody have any sources, you know, saying anybody has any understanding of this?
Well,
I mean,
the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, I mean, to me, again, I feel like everything that happens with COVID-19 is a, it's a, you know, it's a ready, fire, aim. Everyone's like, the COVID-19's here. We got to shut everything down. And we did that. And then we realized probably we didn't need to do that. Everyone's got to wear a mask, which we now realize we probably didn't need to do. Now everyone's got to get a vaccine. So then everyone goes out to get the vaccine. 6 out of 7 million people, all of whom are women. And apparently now I read they were all on some kind of birth control or some other kind of medication or whatever.
Yeah, it was some sort of birth control, I think.
Yeah. So it's a very, very small group. But because of that, now now everybody's got to stop taking the vaccine. I don't know when we got to the point where we just jump the gun on every decision we make as a country. But I definitely think it's bad. Hey, Rayshon, thanks so much for calling, man. We really appreciate it. And thank all your family for their 25 years of service in the military. 855-940-6275. You know, that there's a phrase that pops up all the time now, and it popped up yesterday about this Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And what happened was somebody tweeted out, or somebody wrote, or I heard somebody on TV saying, out of an abundance of caution, we've decided to stop distributing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like the phrase out of an abundance of caution has been more detrimental to this country in the last 5 or 6 years than even defund the police or no justice, no peace or any of the other ones. I feel that people going out there and saying out of an abundance of caution, we are going to close every school in the gosh darn world. Out of an abundance of caution, we are going to close all these businesses to the point that they go out of business because they are in-person brick-and-mortar establishments that require people to be able to come and patronize them in person. Out of an abundance of caution, we're going to make everybody wear a mask. Out of an abundance of caution, you can't hug your grandmother. She may die. Out of an abundance of caution, you cannot go to church and pray to your God that you can go back to work. Pray to your God that you can go back to school. Pray to your God to an end to this COVID-19 pandemic. You cannot, out of an abundance of caution, you cannot leave your home between the hours of 8 and 6 because you may encounter somebody or there may be some kind of looting or rioting or whatever. Now, out of an abundance of caution, we need you to get the vaccine. Out of an abundance of caution, you're not going to be able to fly on a plane or go to a ball game or a movie theater or stand in line at the dentist's office without any kind of proof of vaccine. Out of an abundance of caution, we should probably give you a vaccine passport. And now, out of an abundance of caution, we're going to tell you, you can't get this particular vaccine because 6 out of 7 million people have experienced, not even died. One woman passed away. One woman's in critical condition. 4 others have a very rare blood clotting disease that has just popped up. 6 out of 7 million out of an abundance of caution. Could you imagine what this country would be like if our forefathers, if the people that came before us used the term out of an abundance of, out of an abundance of caution, you probably shouldn't throw that tea in the harbor, guys. Out of an abundance of caution, you probably shouldn't arm yourselves. You know, that Declaration of Independence, look, out of an abundance of caution, I wouldn't sell it. I wouldn't sign it. I definitely wouldn't sign it that big, Hancock. And I definitely wouldn't send it over to King George. And out of an abundance of caution, I would just give up when the war looked like we couldn't win it. Because, it's probably we're going to be a British colony forever. And out of an abundance of caution, let the southern states go and have their slaves. We can be two countries. We don't need to keep the Union together, Abe. Out of an abundance of caution, you probably shouldn't free the slaves. Out of an abundance of caution, just let the Nazis have Europe. It's Europe. It's so far away. What a week. It's Europe. It's all the way over there. Out of an abundance of caution, we're not going to invade that beach at Normandy. Out of an abundance of caution, we are not going to go after ISIS. We are not going to go after Al-Qaeda. Look what they did to us on our home turf. The United States has never done anything out of an abundance of caution until recently. And look where it's got us. A divided country, communist rule by our socialist leftist politicians. And we've got vaccines and masks, failing economies. I mean, it's ridiculous. Out of an abundance of caution, we should probably stop doing things out of an abundance of caution. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-6275. Quick break. More of your calls. We're going to squeeze in as many as we can before Joe Biden interrupts us on this Whatever You Want Wednesday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Mark Kay Show. My name is Mark Kay, 855-940-MARK. It's whatever you want Wednesday today. By the way, we're monitoring Fox News because Joe Biden's about to speak. Right now, though, they've broken in for breaking news about tiny terriers chasing away a bear in a California home in Pasadena. It's actually pretty fascinating. Probably more interesting to watch these tiny terriers chase this bear away than it will be to watch Joe. Wow, that bear got out of there in a hurry. that is one really kind of pansy ass bear. 855-940-MARK is our number, 855-940-6275. And it is whatever you want Wednesday, whether you want to talk about the CNN thing. And we touched on that a little bit at the beginning of the show. But, you know, it's important to know that CNN, this Project Veritas tape that came out yesterday that James O'Keefe dropped during our show, it is damaging. This guy, Charlie Chester, the technical director, who admitted that they were using CNN for the sole purpose of getting Joe Biden elected and getting Donald Trump out of office, who admitted that their job is to create, quote, propaganda. Think about this. You're CNN. You're Jeff Zucker. You're trying to convince people that you are a news network that can be trusted. You've got people out there every single day like Wolf Blitzer. And like, who's the obnoxious guy with the glasses that I hate? No, not me. I don't wear glasses. You're talking about yourself? No, I got LASIK, so I'm good to go. But all these CNN hosts, Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, they're all out there attacking Fox News. They're attacking Newsmax. When Rush Limbaugh died, they attacked him. They attack conservative news media for being propaganda. And now you've got one of their own, an insider, admitting on tape that they create propaganda, not just about Donald Trump, but about all conservatives. Yesterday, James O'Keefe released this comment, which was about Representative Matt Gaetz from right here in Florida and all of the weird, horrible, terrible allegations that are surrounding him.
If the agenda, say, is to like get like Matt Gaetz right now, he's like this Republican, like he's a problem for the Democratic Party because he's so conservative, right? And he could cause a lot of hiccups in passing of laws. So it would be great for the Democratic Party to get him out. So we're going to keep running those stories to keep hurting him and make it so that he can't be buried and like just, you know, settled outside of court and just like, you know, if we keep pushing that, it's helping us.
It's helping us. We're just going to keep pushing these stories that we know are false. We're going to keep them top of mind because why? Because Matt Gaetz did these terrible things, because we have proof that Matt Gaetz flew around the country with a girl who was underage. We have proof of all that. No, not because of that, but because Matt Gaetz is too good at his job. Matt Gaetz is a conservative, a Republican. He's a fighter. He's in Congress. He could cause a lot of problems for us. We might actually have to come up with legislation that people want. He might not allow us to push forward all these socialist agenda items and dismantle the Constitution of the United States item by item like we've been planning. Matt Gaetz could be, I mean, that Matt Gaetz could actually be a real American hero, and we've got to stop it because that would be terrible for us. We can't have any kind of politician that understands the Constitution and is working actively to uphold it. Sends shivers down their spines. So they go out there, they create these stories, they keep them top of mind no matter what the actual news of the day is because they want to bury Matt Gaetz. Well, now we know that's the case. They did it with Donald Trump. When Donald Trump came out, they said they had video of his hand shaking. They got what, like a dozen doctors to talk about all the mental instability he was facing, how he was aging, how he was not adept anymore, that how he was mentally unstable, couldn't do the job. Clearly, that guy's getting too old. Meanwhile, they're showing Joe Biden jogging with aviator shades on and saying, this guy has 20 years left. This guy's at the peak of his personal, physical, and mental capacity. It's all BS. It's propaganda. And they know it, and now they're caught. And the best part of this is that Donald Trump, who long ago told them face-to-face, Jim Acosta, in the White House during his first conference,
you are fake news.
That you are fake news. And from that point on, CNN and the rest, MSNBC, they tried to demonize Donald Trump by creating a war against the media. And when these people got attacked, and they got attacked, man, I stood in the press gallery at many a Trump rally. And I'll tell you what, the last place you want to be is in the press gallery at a Donald Trump rally, because these people are the devil. And they would try to say Donald Trump is harming the media. People distrust journalists because of Donald Trump's rhetoric. He's putting us in harm's way. Uh-uh. You put yourself in harm's way. You actually are fake news.
You are fake news.
Donald Trump was right once again. 855-940-MARK. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you think the left is ever going to stop calling everybody that disagrees with them racist? I mean, do you think that's ever going to happen anytime soon?
I mean, probably not going to happen anytime soon. The only way that would happen is if we were able to teach everybody what racist really meant. But that's the problem with, you know, people, definitions don't matter. They've basically defunded definitions in this country. What's up, everybody? This is the Markay Show, 855-940-6275. And it is Whatever You Want Wednesday today, which means we're going to get to some more of your phone calls here in just a minute. We also are probably going to be interrupted, or will interrupt a little bit for the president's address about Afghanistan. But then we'll dip out as soon as we get bored, which will be pretty quick. But racist, racist can be a noun or an adjective. Okay, an adjective, basically the agreed upon definition is prejudiced against or antagonistic toward a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group. All right, that's what racist means. Like, he is a racist person. Or the noun version, a racist is a person who is prejudiced against or antagonistic toward people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group. And that's basically it. You know, like if you say, hey, why didn't you hire that guy that came in here? Was he not qualified? No. That was a black guy. I wasn't going to hire that guy. That guy, whoever said that, that employer is a racist. That's what it's supposed to mean. But now it's been used to describe anybody. Anybody that you disagree with. It's the definition has evolved, if you will, to anyone who disagrees with somebody on the left. And it doesn't matter if that person on the left is a person of color, if they're white, if they're Asian, it doesn't matter. If you disagree with them, you're probably a racist. Like the whole topic about IDs in Georgia. You need to have IDs in Georgia. What? That's racist. It's not at all. It's not at all. It's not saying you can't vote because you're a member of an ethnic group. It's saying you can't vote because you're a member of a group of people that can't prove that you're a citizen of the country that you're trying to vote in. But apparently that's racist because I didn't know this. A lot of people in minority groups don't have driver's licenses, which is odd. They can't get a birth certificate or a social security card. I mean, I didn't think that was as widespread an issue in 2020 as apparently it is by all these groups that are claiming it's racist. The other thing is water. This is a weird thing to me, too, because this Georgia law, what they're trying to do is they're trying to fight electioneering. And electioneering is when a candidate goes up to a polling place and hands out free buttons or stickers or water bottles or food. If you're Kamala Harris, and I think she did this anyway, you can't roll in on election day in your big Kamala Harris bus or your big Joe No Malarkey Tour bus, walk out of the bus and start handing water to people in line that says vote for Joe when you go in there. You can't do that. It's against the law. It's against the law pretty much everywhere. And that's how what the politicians were doing to get around it was they were handing out water bottles. Well, now in Georgia, you're not allowed to give water bottles to people within 150 feet of the polling place. And people are screaming, that's racist. How is it racist to tell anybody? And it's not just white candidates. Like, you can't, if you're a black candidate or an Asian candidate, or if you are a Samoan candidate, you can't give water to people. And I say Samoan because The Rock's planning on running for president, so I just threw that in there. But you can't give water. Only white candidates can hand out water. And no, it's no candidate. If Donald Trump ran for president again, he couldn't hand out bottles of Trump water to people waiting in line. And people are all up in arms in this. How are these people in line going to drink? You know that in black communities, the lines are a lot longer, and these people need water. Nobody's saying you can't have water. Nobody's saying you can't bring your own water. Nobody's saying that you can't leave and go across the street and to the Wawa and get some water. If you're thirsty, maybe there's a water fountain, or at least there were before COVID and they shut down all the water fountains. Nobody's saying you can't hydrate yourself. They're saying you can't get that water from somebody who you're about to vote for, or somebody whose name is on the ballot that you're about to vote for in about 10, 15 minutes, depending on how long that line is. But they're making water bottles racist. It's the weirdest thing ever. That's what's happening with this country. It's the definition that is getting bastardized. So they'll never stop calling us racist until it stops working. That's the other thing, too. If you get called racist and you recoil, that they're going to keep calling you that. If it keeps working, like, that's the thing. If you hit somebody and they say, OK, you can have my lunch money, here you go, then they're going to keep hitting you whenever they want lunch money. It's the same thing with this term racism. If you are a politician or if you're a business owner or if you're, I don't know, CEO of Delta Airlines or CEO of Coca-Cola, and somebody looks at you and says, you need to stand up and speak out against this or else you're a racist, and you do, then you are empowering those people to continue to do it to you and to others. But if you stand up and you say, I'm not a racist, you're an idiot, then they're going to back away. They're going to go and find some other coward that they can, just browbeat with their verbiage. That's what they're going to do. And the more people stand up to it, the less and less effective it's going to be. Not to say they're not going to find some other way to get people to do what they want. They'll just stop calling us all racist. 855-940-6275 is our number. 855-940-6275 if you're trying to get through. This is Joanne in Forestville, Maryland. Hi, Joanne. How are you? Joanne? Hello? Oh, wait. What? Oh, Joanne, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. How are you, Joanne? What's going on?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh. You just sounded like Mickey Mouse.
I sounded like Mickey. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know what just happened, but.
No, that's good. That's all. That's like a little code I have for Josh.
Okay.
Anyway, what's going on, Joanne? What can we do for you today?
First off, I want to tell you how much I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you.
I get my news from you because it's too much in, all the different areas and too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate that. No one has ever accused us of being too much news, so I appreciate that.
The thing that I wanted to talk about is the, you've just been talking about the need for voter ID and, and racism.
Yeah.
And in the state of Maryland, you need an identification to get the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, I think in all the states
sure
you need that.
And I'm sure it's that way in the United States.
Sure.
And, I just wonder about these poor people of color that can't get the vaccine because they don't have identification.
You know, that's an interesting point. I think what's happening is, and they're running into a problem with, because get this, a lot of minority groups, African Americans especially, get this, don't trust the government. So they're not going out to get vaccines. They don't think that the government has their best interests at heart. And there's a huge push there. They have a marketing campaign. They've got all these celebrities. They're trying to pay football players and basketball. I think LeBron James was tapped to do some kind of marketing campaign because they're trying to reach out to the African-American community and say, hey, look, you need to get vaccinated. The vaccines are free. Here in Jacksonville, what happened with us was we had locations that were set up. And they thought that, that the urban and the impoverished areas would come out and get these free vaccines. But what happened was people were driving out from the suburbs to these areas to get the vaccine and then driving home. And nobody in the surrounding area was coming to get the vaccine. So now they have pop-up vaccination centers that they send into these areas. But it all comes down to distrust of government. And if you think about it, if you've got Black Lives Matter people in these neighborhoods trying to tell everyone that you can't trust the police, that you can't trust the government, that we have to be defunded, we've got to make sure that we dismantle these folks. And then you have people in army uniforms coming into these same neighborhoods and saying, hey, let us stick a needle in your arm to keep you safe. I wouldn't believe them either. It's the most ridiculous thing, but they want to have it both ways. You can't trust the police. You can't trust the government. It's state-sponsored murder. But at the same time, we'd like you to come over here to this vaccination facility where we have National Guards troops and police officers and EMTs ready to stick a needle in your arm. Oh, don't worry. It's all free. You just have to come out again. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thought process. I just don't understand how it works. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break because Joe Biden's supposed to speak here in just a minute. And we are going to monitor it. We are going to bring it in just in case he messes up and says something important. So we're going to take a quick break. Like I said, we'll get back to Joe Biden. We'll get back to more of your phone calls. 855-940-6275. Quick break. More of the Mark Kay Show coming up next. Oh, gosh. Howdy. It's the Mark Kay Show. 855-940-6275 is our number. 855-940-6275. And that number works anywhere. Jacksonville, Florida on WOKV. Orlando, Florida on WDBO. Dayton, Ohio, WHIO Radio. And Tulsa, Oklahoma on KRMG. We're excited to have everybody joining us today. 855-940-6275. We're waiting on Joe Biden. Are we ready to patch him through when he gets here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Delta 99, right at the patch in Biden.
All right, perfect. Great. So as soon as Joe Biden gets here, we're going to patch you. Listen, now, this is a big, important speech. It's going to break into all the networks. He's talking about a war in Afghanistan that everyone else has tried to get out of, but apparently could not. Joe Biden thinks he's going to be the one to do it. He's going to set forward a timeline. We're going to listen in a little bit so that you can get the gist of it. But I promise you, especially if this goes an hour like the last one, we're not going to take all of it because we don't even have an hour left in our show. In the meantime, while we wait on Joe Biden to shimmy on up to the stage, let's go back to the phones. 855-940-6275. This is Steve in Keystone. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, how are you doing, Mark?
Oh,
thanks
doing
for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Sir.
Steve, I'm so happy you called.
First of all, I'd like to thank President Trump for his efforts in getting the research done for the COVID.
Yeah.
Let me go on.
Okay.
To my fellow American citizens, taxpayers, the COVID medicine that's out there now was not free. We, the taxpayers, paid for the research. We, the taxpayers, paid for the processing. We, the taxpayers, paid for the processing. We, the taxpayers, paid for the processing. And now we're paying to have it given to people and put in their arms.
Yeah.
And the chemical companies, pharmaceuticals, they're not giving it away. They're charging us for it.
Oh, yeah.
Also, are they selling it to other countries? And if they're selling it to other countries, is we, the taxpayers, being reimbursed for the money we invested in that development and the support of the pharmaceuticals for that medicine to be developed?
That's a great question, Steve. That's a fantastic question, and I've never heard anybody ask it. But you're right. This is a vaccine that, especially with what's going on in Europe with AstraZeneca, I've heard a lot of, you know, and there's a new new concert that they're putting together. It's called Vax Live or something like that, or Live Vax or whatever. I don't know. Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters are scheduled to appear, and a bunch of other bands that haven't done anything for like a year and a half. They're going to put together this concert, and much like Farm Aid or Live Aid or Comic Relief, their goal is to raise money. They want to raise something ridiculous, like $200 billion or whatever, to buy vaccines for all the poor countries around the world that can't afford them, so they can basically vaccinate the world is their goal. And you're right about that. That's $220 billion or whatever that they're looking to raise that goes directly to Pfizer, directly to Moderna, directly to Johnson & Johnson. Is that just pure profit for them? Do they have to share any of that? I'm sure they'll get taxed on it. But do we get any of that money back? It's a great question. And probably I know the answer, but I don't know the answer for sure, so I won't speculate. However, and you're right, too. When you say this vaccine's not free, this is part of the Joe Biden continued spending spree. Now, this is something that Donald Trump had planned for and Joe Biden picked up on. Joe Biden has just been spending more and more and more and more. And what's going to happen is the expenditures that we know about that the Senate gets to vote on, things like the stimulus package or this infrastructure, quote unquote, bill that's popping up. All of those things are well publicized and we know what's going on with that. But these other expenditures, like the $200 million or dollars worth of vaccines or the 200 million shots that Joe Biden's putting in arms, where does that money come from? You know, you're right. It comes right out of our pockets and no one blinks because everyone thinks they're getting a free vaccine. Great point. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Joe Biden, Mark, did not pay a dime. We, the taxpayers, paid for that.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. 855-940-6275 is our number. This is Steve in Stafford, Arizona. Steve, how you doing? Thanks so much for calling.
Well, thank you. Finally got through. You know, I really enjoy your show, and I found it actually on the internet.
But, oh, good. We're so glad. Yeah.
My point is this, you know, people are worried about this vaccine passport and everything else, but you've got to understand, you cannot use a newer law to break an older law.
Yeah.
And in effect, we have the Civil Rights Act of 1964, we have HIPAA, and we have the Americans with Disabilities Act,
yeah.
And they cannot require you to show jack crap.
Yeah. Yeah, or Joe crap in this case. But no, you're right about that. There's always, and this is what happens a lot of times too. People don't realize that you're right. There are laws on the books already that sometimes negate executive orders that are being made or laws that are being passed. But the problem is you need somebody to go out there and point it out like you just did. You need a lawyer to go into court with a plaintiff and fight it out. And then you need the Supreme Court of an individual state or of the United States to strike it down. A lot of times the laws that just because a law is passed, it doesn't mean that it can be passed, but you need to fight it. And that's one of the tricky things about our country is that people will get away with stuff all the time because no one else has the money, the wherewithal, or the knowledge to fight it. And that's something that we just, you know, James O'Keefe was saying, you need to make sure if you want to stop fake news, what you've got to do is more people should sue them.
I think a lot of people need to start suing the media for defamation. It's disgraceful what they're doing. It's disgusting. Now they're caught. And if Charlie Chester has not been fired, I'm pretty sure that by tomorrow, Sean, he will be.
By the way, Charlie Chester is the technical director of CNN who got caught in Project Veritas's spider web and admitted that CNN is creating propaganda, that CNN is fake news, that CNN created stories to help Biden and hurt Donald Trump, and that they're doing it with Matt Gaetz as well. It's damaging evidence. And now Project Veritas is suing them for defamation. He's urging anyone else who has a case against the media or a case against your government to do the same thing, because that's the only way they're going to learn and they're going to change and they're going to stop. 855-940-MARK. Quick break. Still waiting on Joe Biden. We'll be right back with more of the Mark Kay Show. It's Whatever You Want Wednesday. 855-940-6275. We're going to dump in here real quick to Joe Biden, the president, speaking right now about ending America's longest war in Afghanistan. We'll pick up where he is live.
Threat to our homeland from over the horizon. We'll hold the Taliban accountable for its commitment not to allow any terrorist to threaten the United States or its allies from Afghan soil. The Afghan government has made that commitment to us as well. And we'll focus our full attention on the threat we face today. In my direction, my team is refining our national strategy to monitor and disrupt significant terrorist threats, not only in Afghanistan, but anywhere they may arise. And they're in Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and elsewhere. I spoke yesterday with President Bush to inform him of my decision. While he and I have had many disagreements over policy throughout the years, we're absolutely united in our respect and support for the valor, courage, and integrity of the women and men of the United States Armed Forces who served. I'm immensely grateful for the bravery and backbone that they have shown through nearly two decades of combat deployments. We as a nation are forever indebted to them and to their families. You all know that less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces. The remaining 99% of them, we owe them. We owe them. They've never backed down from a single mission that we've asked of them. I've witnessed their bravery firsthand during my visits to Afghanistan. They've never wavered in their resolve. They've paid a tremendous price on our behalf. And they have the thanks of a grateful nation. While we'll not stay involved in Afghanistan militarily, our diplomatic and humanitarian work will continue. We'll continue to support the government of Afghanistan. We will keep providing assistance to the Afghan national defenses and security forces. And along with our partners, we have trained and equipped a standing force of over 300,000 Afghan personnel today and hundreds of thousands over the past two decades. And they'll continue to fight valiantly on behalf of the Afghans at great cost. They'll support peace talks, as we will. Support peace talks between the government of Afghanistan and the Taliban facilitated by the United Nations, and will continue to support the rights of Afghan women and girls by maintaining significant humanitarian and development assistance. And we'll ask other countries in the region to do more to support Afghanistan, especially Pakistan, as well as Russia, China, India, and Turkey. They all have a significant stake in the stable future for Afghanistan. And over the next few months, we'll also determine what a continued U.S. diplomatic presence in Afghanistan will look like, including how we'll ensure the security of our diplomats. Now, look, I know there are many who will loudly insist that diplomacy cannot succeed without a robust U.S. military presence to stand as leverage. We gave that argument a decade. It's never proved effective. Not when we had 98,000 troops in Afghanistan, and not when we were down to a few thousand. Our diplomacy does not hinge on having boots in harm's way, U.S. boots on the ground. We have to change that thinking. American troops shouldn't be used as a bargaining chip between warring parties in other countries. You know, that's nothing more than a recipe for keeping American troops in Afghanistan indefinitely. I also know there are many who will argue that we should stay fighting in Afghanistan because withdrawal would damage America's credibility and weaken America's influence in the world. I believe the exact opposite is true. We went to Afghanistan because of a horrific attack.
All right, that was Joe Biden speaking live about his removal of troops from Afghanistan as promised by President Trump. The May 1st deadline, he said our troops will not be out by May 1st, but he's going to start the withdrawal. It's not going to be an all or nothing withdrawal. It's going to be a steady, safely done withdrawal of troops from America's longest war that will culminate on symbolically September 11th. He said that they've been trying to, you know, we've been hoping for decades now to create ideal conditions for troop withdrawal, and we just can't wait any longer. He's the fourth U.S. president to serve to command troops who've served in Afghanistan. George Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and now Joe Biden. He said he's not going to pass it on to Kamala Harris. I'm sorry. He said he's not going to pass it on to a fifth president. May 1st will start the withdrawal, and then they will, of course, monitor and make sure everything's going, I guess, going again, according to plan. He's saying, I mean, the interesting thing about this is that, and I'm waiting for the Donald Trump official statement regarding Joe Biden's official statement on Afghanistan, because the May 1st deadline was Donald Trump's deadline that he negotiated. He's, in fact, Joe Biden said, we have it in here somewhere, and we'll go through these clips in just a minute, but Joe Biden said the government of the United States negotiated a deadline with the Taliban, because he calls it the Taliban, and we are going to stick to that because the government of the United States of America negotiated that, and that means something. When he says the government of the United States of America negotiated that, he's talking about President Trump. He won't mention him by name, but that's exactly what it means. It's also a reversal from Joe Biden, who, A, as he pointed out at the beginning of this speech, was all for keeping troops in Afghanistan, not just, and he won't tell you this, not just at the during 9/11 or right immediately after 9/11, when 89% of the country was all about bombing everybody who may or may not have been involved in the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Not only all of that, but even when he was envoy to Barack Obama, even when he was in the Barack Obama White House, they fought to keep troops on the ground. They were always pro endless war. And it was Donald Trump, the first president of the four, who came along and said, this is ridiculous. We're not going to be the world's police officer. Why are we fighting endless wars? And even what he said there at the very end of it, what he said was, I talked to President Bush. He agrees it's time to bring everybody home. He said, we are going to ask other countries to support Afghanistan in the region, including Pakistan and Russia and China and all these others. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that? Wasn't it Donald Trump who burst into the UN, threw open the doors and said, you sons of bitches better start paying your fair share. The United States has, I want you guys to pay me back, Germany, Merkel. I want you guys to pay me back, UK. How many times have we saved your butts? Start writing some checks or else we're not going to do it anymore. Now here's Joe Biden's foreign policy is Donald Trump's foreign policy. What Joe Biden is doing here is he is taking what Donald Trump started, what he established, what no other president was able to do. Barack Obama wasn't able to do it in 8 years, probably didn't even try. George Bush, I mean, he's the one that started the war in the first place. He wasn't going to end it. And now here he is going, you know what? What did Donald Trump say about Afghanistan? May 1st, we're going to totally withdraw. We're going to move out. We're not going to fight these endless wars. We're going to tell the other countries in the area, you've got to start looking out for yourselves. That sounds pretty good. Let's just roll with that. But you know what we're going to do? We're not going to mention Donald Trump. We'll just say the United States government made a deal, and that's what's going to happen. So if you know someone, if you're related to someone, if a loved one serves in Afghanistan or has been, they are coming home. These endless wars are starting to end. And this is all thanks once again to the previous administration. When you look at every success that Joe Biden is lining up on his resume, when you look at the mass vaccinations, when you look at three vaccines in record time, when you look at COVID numbers dwindling, when you look at economies opening back up, when you look at the war in Afghanistan finally ending, every single thing that Joe Biden is claiming as a victory or will claim as a victory in his first term, everything he's going to say in his State of the Union address 2 weeks from tonight in front of a joint session of Congress at the request of Nancy Pelosi, everything he's going to do can be linked back to Donald Trump. Donald Trump lit that fuse. And now all of these things, all these fireworks are shooting up into the sky. And Joe Biden's all like, look what I did. And look what I did, because that's how when he talks along, he starts. He's still talking. He's probably really winded now. Josh, put that back up for just a second. Let's hear what he's still going on. I had no idea he had the kind of stamina.
Went to war with clear goals. We achieved those objectives. Bin Laden is dead, and Al Qaeda is degraded in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And it's time to end that forever war. Thank you all for listening. May God protect our troops. May God bless all those families who lost someone in this endeavor.
That I voted for. He forgot that part. 855-940-MARK is our number. 855-940-6275. Quick break. We'll bring you some more of those early clips from this announcement. And also, we'll squeeze in a couple more phone calls. Whatever You Want Wednesday continues right after this.